Tonight, Columbia brings you a guest star, Hollywood's genial character actor, Stuart Irwin. The story is by the author of The Thin Man and The Maltese Falcon, Dashiell Hammett, one of America's acknowledged masters of the art of suspense. Suspense is compounded with mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure. In this series, a story is calculated to intrigue you, to stir your nerves, to offer you a precarious situation, and then withhold the solution until the last possible moment. Tonight, for instance, Stuart Irwin plays for us a pleasant, easygoing assistant chief of police in a small town, who, to everyone's surprise, was instrumental in solving a murder. We trust that with this tale, we shall keep you in.
For Suspense tonight, CBS presents Stuart Irwin in Two Sharp Knives by Dashiell Hammett.
Shortly after 2 a.m., a poker game had just broken up at Ben Tansley's, the doctor coroner of Deerwood City. Scott Anderson, Deerwood chief of police, and Wally Payne, the assistant.
Where are we heading for, Scott?
Oh, cross the street, Wally. Yeah, okay. See, aren't you afraid of the excitement, Steve? Don't you think that watching the 211 come in is apt to be too much for your blood pressure?
Well, if it is, Wally, you can always carry on. You've been a pretty good imitation of an assistant to me for some time now.
Yeah?
Yeah. If anything happens to me, you'll be the chief. Don't worry. It won't be any harder for you to fool the public, Steve. Hi, Emma.
Howdy, Scott. Hello, Wally. Can't wait for you boys to be around, ain't it?
No, I don't know. We sort of figured we'd put the town to bed tonight. How's the 211? On time?
Right on the nose. You ought to be blowing through the bend in just about 3 seconds now. Yep. What'd I tell you? It's her now. Expecting anyone on it, Scott?
No, I'm not expecting anyone. Wally and I just thought we'd come over and watch the commandments, though.
You know, Elmer, you never can tell who might get off, though. Dick Turpin, Henry Morgan, Jesse James, Dick Jackson Ripper, six officers of Murder Incorporated, or even your Aunt Justice.
I guess you're right, Wally.
Well, here she be. Pardon me, Dick, but I gotta be rolling the wagon out to the baggage car.
I can't complain. I can't complain, Jeff.
Well, maybe you can't, Elmer, but I sure can if you hold us up with that crate there.
Ain't got more, much more?
Nope. It's the last piece now. There you are, Jeff. All done.
Okay.
See you tomorrow, Elmer.
Thanks, Scott. Do you see what I see? Neither. I see the man who just got off that train. The answer's yes.
Well, he's a ringer for the guy we got a picture of.
That is the guy.
Well, then, what do we do now?
You take him, Wally. My car's at the corner of the alley.
But, Scott,
tail him up the street.
Okay, Scott. There he goes now, over toward the taxi stand.
Come on. Let's follow him. Hello, Furman.
Huh? Why? I don't believe
that's Furman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Is that out there?
Yes.
I'm Scott Anderson, 63.
What? What's happened to her?
Happened to who?
Oh, you don't. Let me go.
Hold on.
Let me go.
Now.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Hold it, Wally. Yes, Herman?
Oh, I'm sorry. For a moment there, I thought you weren't really a policeman.
Yeah. Nice to know I look almost human.
Yes, it was silly of me. I'm sorry.
Well, let's get going now before anything else happens. Okay, Herman, get in the car. I'll drive, son.
Here you go.
Are you taking me to police headquarters?
Right.
What for?
Philadelphia?
I don't think I understand.
You understand that you're wanted in Philadelphia for murder, don't you?
Murder? Why, that's ridiculous. Who told you that?
Well, it's a thing. He didn't make it up.
But wait, there must be...
Take it easy now. We can get down to headquarters. And I'll show you what I mean.
Now then, here's the a circular on Lester Furman. It was sent out by the Trans-America Detective Agency in Philadelphia. Take a look at it.
Oh. $1,500 reward for the arrest and conviction of Lester Furman, alias Lloyd Fields, alias J.D. Carpenter, for the murder of Paul Frank Dunlap in Philadelphia on December 8, 1942.
Well?
It's a lie.
You're Furman, aren't you?
Oh, yes,
but that's your picture on the circular, isn't it?
Yes, but I...
Scott, I see you and Wally got Furman, huh?
Oh, I know, John.
Oh, you're lucky, sis. Now you two still a grand and a half reward.
I never seen nothing like it. You know, if it ain't vacations in New York at the city's expense, it's reward, though.
Doug, someday, if you don't remember you're the jailer around here, not the DA, you're going to be wearing your teeth on the outside of your lips, and I'll be the guy to arrange them that way. Savvy?
Just because you caught a guy who's hot in Philadelphia.
It's a lie. It's a frame-up. You can't prove anything. There's nothing to prove. I never killed anybody. I won't be free. I won't be free.
Come on, take it easy. You're wasting your breath on us. Save it for the Philadelphia police. We're just holding you for them.
But it's not the police. It's the Trans-America Detective.
Turn you over to the Philadelphia police.
Mr. Anderson, I...
Well, then there's nothing I can do now.
There's nothing any of us can do till morning. We have to take you now, and we won't bother you anymore till they come for you.
But I...
Why don't you look through his bag? I'll see what he's got in his pocket.
Okay, Scott.
Yeah? Well, he's got on him with some business cards. A few letters. $160, a book of checks from the Philadelphia bank, and she rides him in.
What's with the bag, Wally?
Not much. A couple of changes of clothes, some toilet articles, and... Oh, here's a 38. Loaded. Pretty little thing, isn't it?
Okay, put those things in what I got in the vault. All right, George. You can take Clemmer now and knock him up.
This is the most ridiculous
thing. Come on, darling, come on. We ain't had nobody in our little hoose car for 3 days running. There you are. You'll have it all to yourself. Just like a sweet at the wrist.
Fuck out.
Come on, in you go.
I tell you, you're making a mistake. I demand to be allowed to get in touch with my lawyer.
Hey, how about you boys cutting me in on a little of that blood money, huh?
No, sure, George, sure. I'll forget all about that 2.5 you've been on me for 3 months.
Make Furman as comfortable as you can, George. Take good care of him.
Invaluable, huh? Yeah, now, if it was some bum, it didn't mean a nickel to you.
George, any day now, I'm going to forget that your uncle is county chairman and throw you back in the gutter just to see how high you'll bounce. None of that.
Oh, cut, I didn't mean nothing.
That's all, George. Never mind the rest. I'm going home now. If anything's urgent, I can reach there. But get this. I don't want to be disturbed. Unless it is urgent. What time is it?
It's 5 after 6 in the morning. You'd better come right down, Scott. That fellow Furman hung himself.
What? Furman hung himself?
Yep, by himself, from a window bar. Head and a mangle.
I'll be right in, Molly. Phone Doc Andrew and tell him I'll pick him up on the way down.
No doctor's going to do Furman any good, Scott.
I won't have to have him looked at. You better phone the chronic court at Douglasville, too, and file a routine report.
Already did that. What's more, hold on to your seat. The DA's on his way over, in person.
DA?
Yeah.
I'll be there before you hang up, Molly.
Here, and he's plenty hot under the collar.
What's he banging about?
Oh, he's just mad, running up quite a phone bill on us, too. Been calling Philadelphia for a couple of minutes since he got here. What kept us along?
I couldn't get the car started. Well, let's come and see the old buggy. Oh, Ted?
Listen, Scott, what is all this?
Well, what?
There's some funny business going on here.
What's funny about it? Man hangs himself. It's not a case of suicide.
Sure, it was suicide. But I just telephoned Trans-America. Got this guy out of bed there. And he said they'd never sent out circulars on Furman. Didn't know about any murder he was wanted for. All they could tell me about him was he used to be a client of theirs.
You don't say, Ted.
I don't either. Oh, a fine chief of police you are. What on earth kept you so long?
Cars, dog. Them as quick as it could.
He's so crabby, Ted. Nothing. I guess it's just the district attorney.
Oh, now, come, gentlemen. Nobody'd know you two are staunch admirers of each other.
Okay, Wally. Tell me, What do you make of it?
Well, there's plenty wrong, Scott. First, that Trans-America thing. They never send out circulars about Furman. And now, get this. I talked to the Philly police just before you came in. There wasn't even any Paul Frank Dunlap murdered.
There wasn't?
No. What did you get out of Furman before you let him hang himself? Didn't you grill him? Didn't you find out what he was doing in town?
Well, he didn't.
What for? He admitted he was Furman. The description fitted him. The photograph was him. The Trans-America Detective Agency is supposed to be on the level, ain't it? Philadelphia wanted Furman. We didn't. But
why, sure, Ted. If I'd have known he was going to hang himself. Yeah, but then if your aunt wore pants, you'd be her uncle. You said Furman had been a client of Trans-America. Did you tell you what the job they did for him was?
His wife left him a couple of years ago, and he had been hunting for her for 5 or 6 months. But he never found her. They're sending a man up here tonight to look things over.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going out and grab a quick bite. But I might as well tell you, Scott, there's going to be trouble over this.
You know that, Ted. It usually is when somebody dies in a jail cell.
Become of that 1,500 fish now, huh, Scott?
What happened there last night, George?
Nothing. Norman hunt himself.
Did you find him?
Uh-huh. Wally took a look in here to see how things was before he went off duty, and he found him.
Yeah, it's too thank you, folks.
Well, I was catching a nap, I guess, but everybody does that sometimes, Scott. Even Wally sometimes when he comes in off his beat between rounds. Yeah, but I always wake up when the phone rings or anything. Well, suppose I had been awake. Can't hear a guy hanging himself, can you?
The doctor can't tell how long Furman had been dead.
He's done it about 5 o'clock, he said he guessed. Oh, you want to look at the remains, Scott? They're over at Fitz's undertaking parlor.
Not now.
Hey, and speaking of Furman, what are you going to tell the guys from Trans-America when they show up here tonight?
Come in.
They told me I'd find you here. You're Chief Anderson, aren't you?
Yes, that's
right. I'm Carl Reason, Assistant Manager of the Trans America Detective Agency at Philadelphia. This is Mr. Wheelock, who was Lester Furman's personal attorney.
Glad to know you, Mr. Reason. How do you do, Mr. Wheelock?
How do you do?
I know you gentlemen are already in possession of most of the details concerning Mr. Furman from the time he arrived in jail wasn't until the time of his death. But perhaps you don't know that the police of most towns in our corner of the state have also received copies of this same New York circular. Take a look at it.
Oh. I must say this circular is an excellent forgery.
You're sure it's a forgery, Mr. Reason?
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. But it's an excellent forgery.
Tell me, Mr. Wheelock, is Mr. Furman a native Philadelphian?
No, my yes. He's a well-known, respectable, and prosperous citizen of Philadelphia.
And then,
in 1934, he married a 22-year-old girl named Ethel Bryan, daughter of a Philadelphia family.
And a Furman had a child? Isn't that right, Mr. Wheelock?
Yes, born in 1936, but the child lived only a few months. Mr. Furman's wife disappeared after the child's death.
Well, what year was it that you disappeared?
Mr. Reason should have been in that because his agency left on the matter.
Oh, I remember well. Mrs. Furman disappeared in 1937. We've never heard anything of her again, although Furman spent a lot of money trying to locate her.
What did she look like, Mr. Reason?
Oh, in just a moment. I have a picture of her right here in my briefcase. Here it is. Quite pretty, isn't she?
If you care for that fact.
Seems to me, Mr. Reason. She's actually bad. Judging by this photo, I'd say that she was a small featured, pretty brown, with a weak mouth and large, somewhat staring eyes.
Oh, that's an accurate enough description, all right.
If you don't mind, I'd like to have a copy made of that photograph, Mr. Reason.
Oh, you can keep that one if you like. It's one that we had made up at North America. The description's on the back.
Thanks. Did your family ever divorce her?
No, sir. He was a lot in love with her, and he seemed to think that the child dying made her a little screwy so that she didn't know what he was doing. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Wheelock?
That is my belief, Mr. Reason.
You said Furman had money, Mr. Wheelock. About how much did he have? And whom gets it?
I should say his estate will amount to perhaps $500,000 left in its entirety to his wife.
Mm-hmm. It's quite an handy sum for anyone to have, I'd say. Mr. Wheelock, everything shows that somebody framed Furman into the deal with jail. And that frame-up drove him to suicide. But there has to be something else. A lot else.
Well, then, what are you going to do?
I'm going across the street to the undertaking parlor and have a look at Furman. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
No, Doc.
All right, John. I figured you'd come over here to the undertaker's pretty soon.
What do you mind, Doc?
Let's get out of this crowd. I want to tell you something.
I just got rid of two guys in my office. Let's go back there.
Suit me.
Two of those bruises showed, Scott.
Well, up under the hair, there were two bruises.
Why didn't you tell me?
I'm telling you now, Scott. You weren't here when I made my examination. This is the first time I've seen you since then.
Why didn't you feel disturbed about finding the bruises when you attempted to bring up the inquest, then?
I'm a friend of yours. Do I want to put you in a spot where people can say you drove this chap to suicide by third degree in 2 months?
And you're nothing.
Well, Scott, that didn't kill him, if that's what you mean. There's nothing the matter with his skull. Just a couple of bruises nobody had noticed unless they parted the hair. Thought you ought to know, though.
Yeah. Thanks,
sir. Yeah, do it.
This is Fritz, the undertaker. Listen, Scott, there's a couple of ladies over here that want to take a look at Thurman. Is it all right?
Who are they?
I don't know. A stranger.
What do they want to see him for?
I don't know. Wait a minute.
Can I please see him?
Why do you want to see him?
Well, I'm his wife.
Ben's wife?
Yes.
Oh, certainly. I'll be right over. Come on, Ben. I've got to go back to the undertaker.
Go on, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
What do you want, Wally?
I want to talk to you a minute. Over here where we won't be seen.
Okay, what is it? A couple of dames came into Fritz's undertaking place just as I was leaving. One of them, Hotshaw Randall, a babe with a record as long as your arm. He's one of that mob you had me working on in New York last summer.
You know
him? Sure, but not by my right name. He thinks I'm a Detroit room runner.
I mean, but she recognized you just now.
I don't think she saw me. Anyway, she didn't give me a tumble.
You don't know the other one?
No, she's a blonde, kind of pretty.
Okay, Wally, stick around a while, but stay out of sight. Maybe I'll be bringing these dolls back with me.
Whatever you say, please.
Oh,
there you are, Scott. I wondered when you were coming. This is Mrs. Thurman, and this is Mrs. Crowder. How do you do? Hi,
Chief.
Hey,
just walk the bottle. Got it.
I thought you were
Randy. What do you say,
Chief?
I'm not hurting
your
town,
any. Don't call me Chief. The City Slickers, I'm the town whistler.
Thank you for letting me see
him. It's all right, Mrs. Thurman. But I'll have to ask you and your friends some questions. So if you just come across the street to headquarters and get on with the routine. Questions. I want to tell you something. Mrs. Thurman, your husband didn't commit suicide. He was murdered.
Murdered? Ah, we got alibis. We were in New York and we can prove it.
And you're likely to get a chance to. What brought you down here anyway?
Murdered? Well, who's got a better right to come down here? She was still his wife, wasn't she? She's got a right to look out for her own interests, hasn't she?
This reminds me of something. Excuse me a second. I've got to make a phone call in the next room.
Oh, this is Hamill speaking.
Who's Scott?
Yes.
Wally around?
No, he's not here. He said you told him to keep out of sight. I'll find him for you, though.
Right. Tell him, Wally, I want him to go to New York tonight. Send Mason home to get some sleep. He'll have to take over Wally's night shift.
Mr. Anderson, do you think I have anything to do with
Lester?
With his death?
I don't know, Mrs. Furman. I know he was killed. I also know I left you something like $500,000.
What? Dollars?
Dollars.
All right, see. Let's stop clowning. The kid here didn't have a thing to do with whatever you think happened.
No?
No. We read about Lester Furman committing suicide in yesterday morning's paper. And about their bringing something funny about it. And I persuaded her she ought to come down to Gail
Anderson. I wouldn't have done anything to hurt Lester. I left him because I wanted to leave him. I wouldn't have done anything to hurt him for money or anything else. If I wanted money from him, I would only have had to ask him for it.
That's the truth, Chief. For years I've been telling Ethel she was a chump not to tap him. But she never would.
I wouldn't have hurt him.
Why didn't
you? I don't know how to say it. The way he lived wasn't the way I wanted to live. I wanted... Oh, I don't know what. Anyway, after the baby died, I couldn't stand it anymore.
Excuse me. Hello? Oh, yeah, Hamill? You gave Wally the message? Yes, yes, I want him to go to New York tonight. Okay, where is he? Home? He is home, huh? Okay, thanks. This is, Sullivan. This circular that's got your husband in the jail. You ever seen that picture before?
No. But it's a snapshot I have. It's an imagine of it.
Who else has one?
Nobody that I know of. I don't think anyone else could have one.
You still got yours?
Yes. I don't remember whether I've seen it recently. With some old papers and things. I must have it.
Well, as a farmer and stuff like that's got to be checked up. Me and others can dodge it. And there's two ways we can play it.
Yes?
Mr. Farman, I can hold you here on suspicion until I've had time to investigate things. Or I can send one of my men with you to check up in New York.
Yes?
I'm willing to do that if you'll speed things up by helping them all you can. If you promise you won't try any tricks.
I promise. I'm as anxious
as you are. All right. How'd you come down?
We drove down. We've got a great big car. That's my car, see? That big green job across the street.
Mm-hmm. My man can ride back with you, but no fun of it.
Oh, I don't worry, Steve.
Come on. We're going to see Wally Shane, the man who's going to drive to New York with you. Scott, Molly.
Come in.
Take it first.
Hey. Hey.
Careful. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you're reaching for that gun, Molly.
I got
your cover. I guess you win, Scott.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Come along back to headquarters with me like a good little boy. Molly, you're under arrest for murder. Then when I was dug and out of sight, I ran into you and I was afraid you'd take me over there with you. So I had to tell you one of them knew me. Figured you'd want to keep me under cover for a little while anyhow. Long enough for me to get out of town.
Why didn't you get out, Wally?
Well, I dropped in home to pick up a couple of things before I swam and that phone call of Hamill's captured me and I fall for it. You see, Scott, I figured you're not on for me yet and they're going to send me back to New York to see what dope I can get out of the day. Well, you fooled me, brother.
I never thought you'd fall for that.
Then you didn't just stumble into all this accidentally, did you?
No, I didn't, Wally. I think the Simon had to be murdered by a copper.
You know reward circle is well enough to make a good job of forging him.
Look at Andrew. Who printed that Simon circular for you, Wally?
Now, I'm not dragging anyone in with me. There's only a poor mug with me to show.
Okay, Wally. You see, I knew only a copper would be sure enough of the routine to know how things would be handled. Only one of my coppers would be able to walk in a fireman's cell, bang him across the head, and string him up on the...
Those bruises killed him.
They did?
I guess I should have wrapped 2 towels around that black dress. Well, gee, Scott, I seem to have slipped up on a lot of things.
That narrows you down to my coppers, and... Well, you told me you knew the Randall woman.
I was. And I figured you were working with it.
What got you like this, Wally?
Same thing that gets most saps into jail. The yen for easy dough. I was in New York, see, Scott, working that Dutton job for you, palling around with big shot racketeers, passing for one of them, and...
Yes?
Well, I got to figuring that my work takes more brains than theirs, and they're taking in big money, and I'm working for talking cake. That kind of stuff gets you, Scott. Anyway, it's got me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ran into this Ethel Furman, and he goes for me like a house of fire. I like to see, so that's dandy. But one night, she tells me about how much dough her husband's got and how he feels about it, and I get to thinking...
Thinking what?
I think she's nuts enough about me to learn. So I get to thinking, suppose he died and left her his role.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So I run down to Philly a couple of afternoons and look Furman up, and everything looks fine. I spent my time working out the details, meanwhile writing to her to a fella in Detroit.
Well, finish one.
Well, I decided to do it. I sent those circulars out to a lot of places, not wanting to point too much to this one. And then when I was ready, I phoned Furman, telling him to come to Deerwood Hotel that night. And sometime before the next night, he'd hear from his wife, Ethel. I knew he'd call for any trap that was baited with her. Only, I guess I'm not as sharp as I thought I was.
Maybe you are, Wally. Maybe you are. You didn't always help. Old man Camsey. Ben's father, you shall be saying. To a sharp knife comes a tough face. Well, I did it, Wally. You're all with me.
I know you did, Scott. I was counting on that. Dashiell Hammett, Two Sharp Knives, starring Stuart Irwin. Tonight's story of suspense. Columbia presents these tales of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure for your relaxation and enjoyment. Next week, suspense will not be heard. Because of a special holiday broadcast, Columbia's review of the events of the year, 12 crowded months. It has been scheduled. On the following Tuesday, January 5th, there'll be another in this city. Same hour, 9:30 Eastern Wartime. William Spear, the producer, John Deese, the director, and Bernard Herrmann, the composer, conductor, are collaborators on Suspense.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.